You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Today I'm joined live by Rhett Bollinger. We're here at Hammond Stadium in Fort Myers, Florida, and Twins camp, not too much time left before opening day in Detroit, and things are starting to get settled as far as the roster goes. But today, the day Rhett and I are recording this, they had a settling of another sort, a four-year contract, 4 years, $20 million for Brian Dozier, all-star second baseman who really, Rhett, I mean, this guy, he kind of broke out a bit in the second half of 2013 and really solidified himself in 14 and probably one of the top five second basemen in baseball right now. When you talk about not just offensive performance, what he brings defensively, what he brings on the base passes, an all-around player.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely one of the better all-around second basemen in the game, a guy that hit, you know, more than 20 home runs and stole more than 20 bases last year while, you know, being a good defensive second baseman. So this contract here makes sense for both sides. It doesn't buy out any of the free agent years, but it gives the Twins some cost certainty, knowing what he's going to be worth in the future, and also obviously gives Dozier some financial, you know, security in the future as well. And the Twins also said they're going to, you know, look at it maybe in a couple years. Could be revisited if maybe it warrants a bigger extension down the line, but for now, at least they know for the next 4 years, they don't have to worry about him with arbitration. It kind of protects him in case he has another big year, which definitely could happen. I mean, obviously last year was a great year, but some things he could be better at, obviously not a high average. So if his average gets better, even if his defense gets a little better too, because he's still kind of new to the position, if he has a breakout year, so definitely would save the Twins some money. But at the same time, Dozier's guaranteed $20 million. So like I said, it makes sense for both sides.
This came up at the press conference. He kind of winked at you for a second there about just adjustments and approach. You know, he's a very pull side hitter. That's his tendency. Do you see him at this stage of his career, 27, he's got some time in the big leagues. Do you think that's an adjustment he can make to use the whole field? I know it's something he's working on.
Yeah, something he's working on, but he also jokes with me and tells me that Josh Willingham used to tell him that the fastest way to hit home runs is hit the left field, a lot quicker and a lot shorter distance. I don't think his home runs are going to go anywhere but to left, but I do think he can use the field a little better, and I do think that more than anything, too, in the past, I think especially early on, kind of popped the ball up in the air too much. So I think if you can kind of continue to drive the ball better, maybe get a little better line drive rate, better contact, maybe cut down even on strikeouts a little bit, we can see that average start to creep up a little bit because he obviously walks enough. He's a good enough player where he can pretty much bat first, second, or third because he walks enough to get on base to be a leadoff type guy or second hole hitter and has enough power now to be that third hole hitter. So really, yeah, as a guy that gives him a lot of flexibility, top of the lineup, and obviously defensively, he's a great player too as well.
Yeah, and the thing that struck me is we're in that room where he's doing the press conference, he's surrounded by all the Baseball America cover boys of Twins past and present. Byron Buxton was up on that wall, Joe Mauer, Kirby Puckett, Johan Santana. Here's a guy, Brian Dozier, who really had to prove himself at every level and had you know, his first experience in big leagues. He gets sent down, doesn't get called back up that season because he struggled in AAA, and just one of those grinder types who really had to exceed expectations.
Yeah, he even mentioned that, you know, back in high school even, he didn't get offered anywhere at an SEC school, and that was his dream. So he went to Southern Miss and had a good career there, and then ended up hurting himself there, I think his junior year, and still got drafted by the Twins. And was never really a top prospect for the Twins, but had some good minor league years. But ended up kind of going through the system pretty quickly, considering that, and came up as a shortstop. I think the Twins saw he could maybe be their shortstop of the future, but that first year in the rookie year didn't go too well, and he was sent down and never came back up as a September call-up, but moved him to second base and turned out to be a great, you know, defensive second baseman, and surprising power. I don't know if the Twins ever saw he was going to be a guy that could hit 20-plus home runs like that. So he's really built himself into a good all-around second baseman, and Twins are definitely happy to have him.
Well, good day for Brian Dozier and for the Twins. As far as the rest of camp is concerned, obviously the big focal point is the back of the rotation and how that last spot's going to shake out. Alex Meyer did not really assert himself in that battle, had some struggles from a control standpoint, basically. That was kind of what did him in, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, his last outing he had, I think he walked four guys in two innings. Obviously, the stuff's there. The guy throws in the mid-90s to high 90s. Good slider slash breaking ball that can strike guys out, but that command. And even last year in the minor leagues, at AAA, you know, had a great ERA, struck out, I think, like 150 guys in 130 innings, but also walked like 4.4, you know, batters per nine innings, which would have been the second highest rate in the majors. So, I mean, really, he's got to fix that. And it's tough. You know, he's 6'9", so a lot of mechanics, things can go wrong. Kind of, not too many guys in the big leagues are that tall, probably for a reason. But the stuff's definitely there. If he can kind of get it under control, you know, there's a reason why he's a top prospect and probably the Twins' top pitching prospect and I think a top 30 guy overall by MLB.com. So There's definitely some hope there, but I do think it's the right move for now to get him at Triple A to kind of work on those things there, as much as a lot of fans want him up here, because he is, you know, I think he's 26 now or 25 now, so he's not exactly a young kid anymore, but at the same time, if he's going to go out there and give you, you know, turn into some of those two or three inning clunkers because he can't, you know, throw strikes, the Twins can't afford that right now, so even if there's a veteran guy that can, you know, throw more innings than that, that's what, kind of what they need for now.
Yeah. As far as the guys remaining, Mike Pelfrey is the veteran guy. He's making the most money. Sometimes that factors into these things, but I'm sure there's a lot of temptation on the Twins' part to see what they have in Trevor May at this point, or to see where Tommy Malone shakes out for them. I believe you've alluded to in the past, maybe Pelfrey might be more slotted to the bullpen role where he could thrive. Is that still where you're leaning on that one? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I think right now Malone probably is in the lead, but it's only maybe a slight lead. Pelfrey pitched against the Phillies the other day and did pretty well. Gave up one run in 4 2/3, but did give up 7 hits and walked a couple guys. So it wasn't like he had a great outing, and he admitted it afterward. But still, his ERA is, you know, a little bit above 1 this spring, so he hasn't really done too much to give himself, you know, take himself out of that race at all. I do think that his stuff could play up in the bullpen. He was hitting 95 miles per hour as a starter against the Phillies the other day, so I figured that maybe in the bullpen, if he's throwing, you know, mid to high 90s like that, air it out a little bit, yeah, become two-pitch pitcher, maybe even use that slider, even his developing changeup there, he could be a really good reliever. But I think his hesitance, he's a little hesitant because he's never done it before, yeah, so he doesn't know how that would play. And I think, because the big thing is that Malone really, there's no reason to put him in the bullpen, really. Right. I mean, he's obviously more of a starter guy, that a lefty that is a good control pitcher, but not going to blow anybody away. And May, I think at this point, there's no reason to put him in the bullpen yet, because I still think he's a starter long term. And I think May might just be a casualty of, he has options and can easily be sent to AAA Rochester, even if he's kind of in the same neck and neck. If they all tie, you know, May should just go to AAA because he can be a starter there and it's easy to send him there. Whereas, as you noted, you know, Pelfrey's making 5.5, Malone's making a couple million as well. Yeah. So really, I think it's going to come down to Pelfrey and Malone. And I think right now Malone's in the slight lead, but this next week's going to kind of definitely determine that.
Yeah. How about center field? I know you know, Paul Molitor wants to get this roster nailed down basically by the weekend. Is center field going to be settled at this point? I know Eddie Rosario has probably pushed things more than people might have expected. But does that still come down to Hicks and Schaefer? How's that shake out?
It's an interesting one, because you're right. I don't think most people thought that Rosario was really going to last this long in the camp and make it this tough on them. But last year, obviously, had the suspension and didn't play too well Double A, but then kind of redeemed himself with the strong Arizona Fall League, and he's had a great spring, you know. So he's in that mix, but he's got to start every day and play every day because he's still a prospect. And I just think with the numbers he put up at Double A, it'd be tough to justify jumping him right up into the majors and expecting him to do well. So I still think he'll probably last toward the end, but probably more likely to start in the minor leagues, where I think Hicks is probably still the favorite here. I think Shaver's in the roster probably no matter what as that third outfielder. Or fourth outfielder, sorry. But I do think that Hicks is kind of his job to lose here, but kind of have to obviously play well here this last week before they make that decision.
Yeah. All right, good stuff from Rhett Bollinger here as camp starts to wind down. And just so you folks know, the dedication of this young man, he pulls himself out of bed when he gets the Brian Dozier news on one of his very few days off down here, and cleans himself up and gets there in time for Brian's press conference. So Rhett's a gamer, man, just like Brian Dozier. Rhett comes to play.
Thanks, I'll take that.
All right, this has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins. Thanks for tuning in.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is now available. Watch over 250 spring training games and every regular season game live or on demand in true HD. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices, every night, on every device. Visit MLB.TV for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply.